अहम् विष्णुर्वषत्कारो भूतभव्यभवत्प्रभुः भूतवृद्भूतवृद्भावो भूतात्मा भूतभावनः भूतात्मा परमात्मा च मुक्तानां परमा गतिः अव्ययः पुरुषः साक्षी क्षेत्रज्ञो क्षरेव च योगो योगविदानेता प्रधानपुरुषेश्वरः नारसिंहवपुश्रीमान् केशवपुरुषोत्तमः सर्वशर्वशिवस्तानुर्भूतादिर्निधिरव्ययः सम्भवो भावनो भर्ता प्रभव प्रभुरीश्वरः स्वयं भूशम्भुरादित्यं पुरुषराक्षो महाश्वरः अनादिनिधनो दाता विधाता धातुरुत्तमः अप्रियो ऋषिकेश पद्मनाभो मरप्रभुः विश्वकर्मा मनुस्पष्टा शमिष्टस्वविरो ध्रुवः अग्रयशाश्वत कृष्णो लोहिताक्षप्रतार्दनः प्रभूतस्त्रिकगुप्ताम पवित्रं मङ्गलं वरम् ईशान प्राणदप्राणो ज्येष्ठश्रेष्ठ प्रजापतिः हिरण्यगर्भो भूगर्भो माधवो मधुसूदनः ईश्वरो विक्रमी तन्वी मेधाविक्रमक्रमः अनुत्तमो दुराकर्ष कृतज्ञकृतात्मवान् सुरेशः शरणं शर्म विश्वरेटा प्रजाभवः अहः संवत्सरो व्यालप्रत्ययः सर्वदर्शनः अजः सर्वेश्वरसिद्धसिद्धिः सर्वादिरच्युतः वृषभपिरमेयात्मा सर्वयोगविनिःश्रितः वसुर्वसुमना सत्यः समात्मा संवितः समः अमूढपुण्डरीकाक्षो वृषकर्मा वृषाकृतिः रुद्रो बहुशिरा बहुर्विश्वयोनिःशुचीश्वरः अमृतशाश्वतस्तानुर्वरारोहो महातपः सर्वविद्वानुर्शिष्वक्षेणो जनार्दनः वेदो वेदविदव्यङ्गो वेदाङ्गो वेदविकविः लोकाध्यक्षसुराध्यक्षो धर्माध्यक्ष कृताकृतः चतुरात्मा चतुर्व्यूहश्चतुर्धंश्वश्चतुर्भुजः राजिष्णुर्भोजनं भोक्ता सहिष्णुर्जगदानिजः अनभो विजयो जेता विश्वयोनिः पुनर्वसुः उपेन्द्रो वामनकांशुरमोघश्रुतिरुचितः अतीन्द्रसङ्ग्रह सर्गात्मा नियमो यमः वेद्यो वैद्यसारोगी वेदः माधवो मधुः अतीन्द्रियो महामायो महोत्साहो महाबलः महाबुद्धिर्महावीर्यो महाशक्तिर्महाद्युतिः अनिर्देशवपुश्रीमानमेयात्मा महाद्विधिः महेश्वासो महीवर्ता श्रीनिवासस्ताङ्गतिः अनिरुद्धसुरानन्दो गोविन्दो गोविदाम्पतिः मरीचिर्गुणनो हंसः सुपर्णो भुजगौतमः हिरण्यनाभः सुतपा पद्मनाभः प्रजापतिः अमृतो सर्वदृक्सिंहः सन्दातः सन्धिमान् स्थिरः अजो दुर्मर्षणः शास्त्रा विश्वरात्मा सुरारिहा गुरुर्गुरुतमो तामः सत्यसत्यपराक्रमः निमिषो निमिषश्रावी भाषस्वतिरुदारधी अग्रणीर्रामणे श्रीमान् न्यायो नेता समीरणः सहस्रमूर्धा विश्वात्मा सहस्रचक्षुरस्तवात् आवर्तनो निवृत्तात्मा संवृतः संप्रवर्तनः अहस्संवर्तको वह्निरनिलो धरणीधरः.
Okay, so
two something, 220.
232, I think. 232, I think, maybe.
Should be. Oh, did we get that far?
Yeah, 232.
Yep, that's what I have.
We did the San Pavandamaha already? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, you scooted through quite a few this week.
Oops. That's all right, I can do a few of these.
Don't look back.
232, okay? Ahas-sam-vartakah.
Ahas-sam-vartakah.
Ahaha means the day. From aham, the day. Ahas-sam-vartakah. The one who impels or originates the day, right? So, as the sun, so it's really a name for Surya. So the Ahasam Bharatakah. So Samyakanam, Samyakanam, Pravartanat.
Pravartanat.
Suryaha.
Suryaha.
Then Ahasam Bharatakah.
Ahasam Bharatakah.
So Samyak, he does it very well. Samyak anam pravartanat. Pravartanam means that because of impelling, because of pushing forward or making move, the sun, because of the one who gives the pravritti to the sun. You know, the pravritti means, if you have, there's two things, pravritti and nivritti. The pravritti is what impels you forward. So you have a pravritti for something that means that you're impelled to go forward. And so the sun is impelled forward to cycle around. So the one, because of being the pravartana, the one who impels or gives the sun the pravritti to as though move, circling the earth, is the idea, to bring about the day. So because of impelling the days, right, the one who brings about, makes arise the day, right, suryaha. Ahaha samvartaka, Surya, the sun, is the one who brings about the day. Okay. It doesn't really mean that the sun is moving around the earth, but the day is. And the day is moving, the day is because of Surya. So Surya is the one who brings about the day. Okay. So ahaha samvartaka, the initiator of the day as the sun. Surya means sun. So Samyakanam pravartanat, because of continually bringing about the day, giving rise to the day, Surya, the sun, is called Ahasam Vartakah, so Vishnu in the form of the sun, as the sun. Everybody clear? Then Vannihi.
Vannihi.
Vahanat Vannihi.
Vahanat Vannihi.
So, va, the word va means to bear or to carry. Let me just look it up and see what it means of va. To carry, transport, convey, lead. So, Vani, the word Vani means is a name for Agni. Okay, Vani is a name for Agni, for fire. And in the fire rituals and all of the yajnas, the havis, the offerings are offered to Agni as the Devata, and Agni's job is to take those offerings up to the Devatas, to transport them to the Devatas. So the one who carries the offerings that in the ritual they're offered into the fire, then Agni takes those to the given Devatas, whichever Devata is being invoked at that time. So Agni is called Vani from Vahana, the one who is carrying those offerings. See what Swamiji says. So Swamiji says, the Lord is Vani, both the physical fire and also Agni Devata. Okay. Agni is called Vani because he carries the oblations offered by us to the various Devata. So that's the one that always comes to mind, is that one. But then he says, Jivanam Vahati, he also carries life. The Lord is the one who carries on the life of all beings in the form of energy and temperature. Mm. Right? Mm. Yeah. And hence also is Vani in that way. That's just Shankara probably gave that as a second meaning. The one that everybody knows for Vani, as a name for Agni, is Agni carries, he transports the oblations to the various devatas. So that's the most common meaning. Next one. Anilaha.
Anilaha.
Anadi Twat.
Anadi Twat.
Anilaha.
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 So here, Nila means to be stationary, to be settled. Anila means to not be settled, right? So the one who is always on the move is Anila. So here, Anadi Twat, because of being beginningless, have no beginning, Anilaha, means it never doesn't have a home. It doesn't have one place. It's always on the move from beginningless time. It's not like you were seated in one place and then you decided to get up and move and then you sit another place. You know, Anila is the name for air. Right? Mm-hmm. So he says, the one who is constantly moving as air. So when we say Anila, we mean the one who is not Nilaha, not stationary, and has never been. That's what's in the commentary, Anadi Twat. Because of being Anila from beginningless time, it has no particular home. It's always on the move. So the one who has no stationary home is Anilaha. Then he says, Anadata Anilaha va Anilaha. Anadata, what does Swamiji say for that? It's the one who doesn't give. Let me see. He says, this in the last paragraph, he says, I want this one thing. Bhagwan is not only beginningless, but na niliyante vineshyati, does not perish and hence is anila. That's another meaning. But not in our commentary. Anila is prana, takes all the anas, karmendriyas into itself. So too, Bhagwan takes everything into himself like Anila and is therefore known as Anila. Like Anila, the air, Bhagwan is na nilati. Here it is. Na nilati does not take the punya or papa of anyone unto himself and hence is Anila. So here, the root is ada, means to take or to come or to take. So, Anadatra is the one who does not take, or does not take what? Anila. Because he does not take, he is called Anilaha. So what doesn't he take? Then you have to add that. He doesn't take on any of the punya or papa or karma of any of the jivas. So he doesn't, because he doesn't take that on, he's called Anila. But that meaning is less known. Normally when you think of Anila, you think of the wind, mm-hmm. of the air, because it's such a common name for the air. Right? Like Anala is a common name for fire. Anala means Analam, the one who never has enough. The more you feed it, the more it wants. So that's beautiful. Uh-huh. So that's why fire is often used for desire. Uh-huh. The more you feed the desire, the more the desire wants. It never satisfied. So the fire is never satisfied. You have to keep throwing in the logs and throwing in, I know, at the farm. You're right that we start the fire, you know, but we always are feeding it all day long. And if you don't feed, you know, you have to feed it. And it wants food from you. Okay. In order for it to survive, it needs to be fed. In order for your desire to survive, it needs to be fed. That's interesting.
Okay. And what does it mean by not taking on the punyapana?
Well, Bhagavan, and that's what we kind of touched on in the meditation today. Yourself, when you know when I was talking about the weather and the environment, mm-hmm. you know, the environment are kind of your thoughts and your perceptions, and the weather is your emotions. And why that is so nice is because your thoughts and perceptions, memories, etc., are always taking place in the weather. If it's shining, you know, then those thoughts and perceptions are taking place in, you know, beautiful, warm weather. But if it's a rainy thunderstorm, those thoughts and perceptions are, you know, doused in the kind of the rainy weather. But your being, yourself, is never touched by that. It illumines that, but it's not touched at all. Yourself doesn't become wet. It doesn't become afflicted by thunder and lightning. It doesn't become dark. It always remains untouched. Like that, Bhagavan is always remains untouched by whatever the karmas are, by whatever the collective weather is, by whatever is happening in the universe. Bhagavan, your being, as your being, remains untouched. We say in the Brahma Sutras, actually, which is so beautiful, Ishwara means the whole Maya Upadi, which is just a manifestation of Bhagavan, has the Lesha Dukkha. It has a trace, Bhagavan has a trace of dukkha because of the suffering of the jivas. Right? So, just like if you were watching a scary movie or somebody really hurt in a movie, you would have a dukkha lesha. You would be affected, have some effect, you know, because of your or compassion or your empathy for the jivas or for that particular person. So even though there's that asangatvam, you're the atma, Brahman is never affected in any way. There's no dukkha lesha. Lesha means just that trace. There's no trace of dukkha for your being. But if you are the one, you know, if you are the entire universe, if that is your being, is the entire universe, like this body or my mind, you know, whatever is going on there is part of the collective experience of your being. And so even though there's no sangha, there's no identification with any given part, it's still there. Right? So they say Bhagavan has this duplication because of the suffering of the beings within his upadi, even though no identification.
So how's that resolved?
It's not. It's just there's no attachment to it. You know, you don't take it on.
So the desire for moksha also needs to be fed?
That's a good question. You know what they say? They do address that. Because people say, well, moksha is a desire, you know? Yes. Moksha is a desire. It can be a burning desire. And the stronger the desire, the better. Because it is the only benign desire. This desire is benign because it resolves desire itself. The fulfillment of that desire eats the desire along with it permanently. Because all desires have for their goal ananda. And the problem is fullness, happiness, well-being. The problem is the well-being is superimposed upon the world. And then we go after that object thinking we'll get the ananda. So acknowledge you recognize I am the ananda. And so then the problem is solved. The problem of desire is solved once and for all because the self doesn't come and go. It's not a projection. If we continually find that we have this strong desire for this object, we get the object but and have a moment of ananda, and then that slips away, we're left with the object and not the ananda that we seek. That happens over and over and over again. And so there's no end to trying to satisfy desire. Because you're never getting what you want from it. You're getting the object, but not what you're seeking. Except here, one who has a desire for moksha, which means converts into the desire for knowledge. Remember these two terms, mumukshu, or mumukshutvam, is that the mumukshu is the one who desires liberation, the one who desires to be free. That desire, the mumukshu is a desiderative, the one who desires to be free, the mukh, the verb, transforms itself into, really through teaching, into jignasu, the one who desires knowledge. Because moksha is atmajnana. Moksha is knowledge, is self-knowledge. It's not like you desire moksha, so now you have to get knowledge, and then having gotten knowledge, you have to do something. Like, you want to be a cook. So you learn how to cook, you learn about the recipes, you learn all of the equipment and all of that, but then you have to cook, then you have to do it. Whereas here, you already are that. So there's no doing involved. There's just recognition. Right? So that means that since your nature already is liberated, what you need is knowledge. Right? Not knowledge and then action. Only knowledge. So jnanam, knowledge, is liberation. Because there's nothing that comes after that. We'll do one more. Dharani Dharaha.
Dharani Dharaha.
Dharanim Dhatte.
Dharanim Dhatte.
Dharani Dharaha.
Dharani Dharaha.
The one who supports the earth. When you have this root from dhra, to bear, hold, support, that will take the form of dhara at the end of a noun. Just like we have jnanam, jna at the end of a noun, or da, or different verbs we'll have at the end of a noun. Here, dharaha means the one who supports the dharani. Dharani is a name for the earth. The one who is the supporter of, who supports the earth. So we have dharanim dhatte, third person singular. He supports the dharani. He supports the earth. Iti dharani dharaha. So Vyasa says here that the Lord is the sun, he is the fire, he is the air, and so on. And as the adhishtana of the earth, he is dharana, dharani dhara. Remember what adhishtana means? Adhishtana really is a word used in reference to mitya. So what that means is he is the satchit of the earth. He is the very basis, he is the very support of the earth, because if you were to take away its being, the earth is gone. So he's the adhishtana, the one who holds, who bears, who supports the earth. Not only is he the support of the earth, he is the one who supports everything as the dhanani, as the earth. He is the one who sustains life in the form of the earth, the sun, the air, and the fire, and so on. We generally think that Bhagawan is one among the many things. Fire is fire, sun is sun, God is God, thus everything is separate. This is our thinking, but in truth it is not so, because there is nothing separate from Bhagawan. We think that God is another person, like our uncle sitting in a particular location, separate from everything. This is knocked off by Vishnu Sahasranama, because we see everything as Ishwara. If we see as everything is Ishwara, everything has the self, same self. The self is the adhishtana of everything. So here Bhagawan is the adhishtana of the earth.
Okay. Adhishtana means self?
No. When we use the term, like say if you have a clay pot, the clay is the adhishtana of the pot.
Oh, okay.
Satya mitya. Okay. So the adhishtana is the thing that actually supports all the nama rupas.
Yeah.
Where's the adhishtana? What is the truth of all the nama rupas that gives them their being? That's Brahma.
Well, why is that so hard to see, you know, amongst mitya, to see the satchit? That doesn't usually come to mind.
It doesn't come to mind until you're a mumukshu and you learn about it and know where to look for it. Does it involve looking? It involves being, recognizing your own being as something that's not an object within time and space, but in all of your experience, it doesn't matter what the vritti is, what the thought is, what the experience is. all experiences have Satchit as the common denominator. That's the Adhishtana. The Satchit conscious being is the Adhishtana, the pervasive, changeless experience, the changeless being of all experience. And that is yourself. That has to be recognized. Any experience that I have, what is the common denominator, the changeless, underlying being is the Satchit, which is my being. It's the Adhishtana of my body, mind, sense organs, all the upadis. It's the Satchit of all the upadis. It's the Satchit of the Ishwara upadi. It's also the Satchit of every subject-object experience I have. It's the Satchit, the conscious being, that's the truth of the seer and the truth of the seen. Both the seer and the seen are objectified in duality.
Mm.
So I'm the Satchit of the seer as well as the seen, as well as the seer, seen. Seer, seen take place in me. And I'm the Satchit, the conscious being of all, equally of all three.
That was the sequence of the meditation, right?
Yeah.
So that's not seen, that's recognized.
It's not seen, it's self-evident. It's like you don't need another consciousness to come in and illumine consciousness. Consciousness doesn't need to be seen by another consciousness. Consciousness does not need to be illumined by your mind so that it can be experienced. Mm. Everything else does.
Mm.
But consciousness is the one that illumines the mind itself. The mind doesn't illumine consciousness. Consciousness illumines the mind. So consciousness, your being, is self-evident, right? Say a prayer. Om Swasti Prajapyat Paripalayantam Nyayena Marena Mahim Mahishaha Go Brahmane Pyashubamastu Nityam Loka Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu Kale Varshatu Parjanyaha Prithivi Sasya Shalini Desho Yam Shobarahitaha Brahmana Santi Nirbhayaha Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha Sarve Santu Niramayaha Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu Ma Kaschit Dukha Bhagavet Asato Ma Sadgamaya Tamaso Ma Jyotirgamaya Mrityorma Amritangamaya Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.